Hey there, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Bible in Life podcast. My name is John Whitaker. I'm the host, creator of the Bible in Life, and I'm grateful for you, grateful for this platform through which we can reflect on and think through and study the scriptures together, think about what it looks like to follow Jesus together. So super grateful that we get to do that. And if you're a longtime regular listener of the Bible in Life podcast, man, I'm glad you're a part of the Bible in Life family. If this is your first time listening or you're a new listener, welcome to the family. Our goal here is to provide clear, simple, down-to-earth Bible teaching of various kinds on various topics, all aimed at helping us live as disciples of Jesus. I like to refer to it as blue jeans theology, by which I mean theology that's just in the language of everyday life, dealing with where we live in our everyday life so that we can follow Jesus in our everyday life. So that's what we're all about. And the Bible in Life is part of an overall online ministry that includes this podcast, includes a free ebook that's available on both my websites. So you can go to johnwhitaker.net and you can download a free ebook that's aimed at helping you read and apply the Bible to your life well, simply called Bible in Life as well. There's also some online courses that are available that'll help you study the Bible for yourself, help you understand basic theology, help you understand a practical theology of spiritual growth. So there's some online courses that are part of this online ministry, as well as really the massive project is creating a commentary on the New Testament in audio fashion called the Listener's Commentary, where you can study the book of Ephesians, you can study the book of Philippians, you can study the book of Romans along with me, and I just walk you through it just like if you were reading a commentary. But this is a commentary you can listen to guide you through it. And so all of that together is just this online ministry aimed ultimately at helping us not just know the Bible, but be transformed the Bible so that we actually live the way Jesus calls us to live. So that's the sum total, really, in a lot of ways, of the Bible in Life online ministry. And most of that stuff is given away for free so that it can be accessible to whomever, wherever. And we have people all around the world who are listening to or using either the Bible in Life podcast or the Listener's Commentary, even giving away the courses to parts of the world. In fact, just received a message the other day from a missionary friend in the Philippines who is wanting to take the courses and translate them into a very wide-ranging local dialect there in the Philippines that is common in the areas that he works in. So gave him free access to the courses so that he could translate some of that material and use it for training people there in those churches. And so we give most of this away free, and we're able to do that because of the generosity of all sorts of people all around the world. So thanks a ton for your support. Just know that the Lord is using it to bear good fruit all around the world in lots of different places, a lot of places I don't even myself don't even know about. So thank you so much for that. And if you want to join the team of supporters, easiest way to do that is to go to johnwhitaker.net and to click the Give button. It'll redirect you to World Family Mission. You can then click the link that'll take you to the payment portal. You can put in a one-time gift or you can put in a dollar amount, click a little box that says Make This Monthly, make it a monthly donation as well. All right, what I want to begin doing on this episode is just sort of a very simple, reflective walk through the book of Colossians. I love the little letter of Paul to the Colossians. If you want all the details of that book, the backstory, all the little complications and exegetical details, go to the Listener's Commentary and listen to my teaching through the book of Colossians. That's not quite our intent here. There'll be some of that, obviously. You have to understand things in order to reflect on them a little bit. So there'll be some of that. But for the most part, what I want to offer over the next handful of weeks is just sort of a reflective walk through the book of Colossians, really around the theme of what does it look like for us to make Jesus supreme in our life? For Jesus to be the number one thing around which our life revolves, for all the parts of our life to be connected to Jesus, so that Jesus really is front and center. He is the supreme one that drives and governs and shapes our life. And I think the book of Colossians has an awful lot to say about that. And so I want to pick up on this episode with chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. So verses 1 and 2 is the introduction and greeting, really gets into the backstory. You can check out the listener's commentary on the book of Colossians if you want that backstory. But we're going to pick up in chapter 1, verse 3. And what this really gets at is the topic of prayer. What should we pray for? And how do we learn to pray? And I think one of the ways we can learn to pray is by listening to the prayers of some of God's people who are deep and wise and deeply rooted in God in the Scriptures. And so there's obviously the entire collection of prayers in the what we call the Book of Psalms, right? Those are Hebrew poems, most of which are written as prayers. And it became the prayer book for the nation of Israel. So reading the Psalms is a way to read some prayers of people rooted in God who could help us learn how to pray and give language to our emotions and our thoughts and our feelings and teach us to pray. There's prayers in some of the prophets, like in the book of Daniel and others. And so by listening to people pray, it helps us learn to pray. And here in Colossians, as well as in his other letters, the Apostle Paul frequently records some of the things he is praying about for the churches he's writing to. And once again, it's a great opportunity for us to listen to somebody who maybe is a little further down the discipleship path than we are and hear from them some things that they pray about. And so that's what we have here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12, is we have a record of both Paul's kind of thanksgiving as he's praying for them. Here's some things he thanks God for them about, as well as a record of what he's asking God to do, what he's praying by way of request for God to do. We have both of those in this section. And so we get to listen in a little bit on Paul's prayer life here in Colossians 1, 3 through 12. And it can guide us into some things that are like, wow, when Paul prays for his fellow Christians, here's how he does it. So listen to what he says. Verse 3, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So he's writing to this church in the city of Colossae, and he's never been there. Part of the backstory. He's never been there, but he's heard about them, as we'll see very shortly. And he says, man, we thank God for you, and we're always praying for you. It doesn't mean every waking moment. It's just that all the time, when he stops to pray, he's so grateful for the Colossians. He's so grateful for what he's heard about them, that he's thanking God, God the Father, for them, praying regularly on their behalf. So what does he thank God for? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 4, he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that's reserved in heaven for you." So notice that. He's thanking God because we heard of your faith in Christ. He's just grateful that they've come to faith in Jesus. He's grateful to know that there's this body of believers, this body of Christians there in the city of Colossians, and he's thanking God simply about their faith. He's also thanking God for the love which they have for all the saints. The saints refer to God's people. It's a belonging word, right? And it refers to those who have been set apart as God's people. And so, man, they, as new believers, are demonstrating in some sort of way love for God's people there in Colossae, maybe in some of their neighboring towns where there's other Christians. Who knows? But in some sort of tangible, concrete way, Paul's heard that they're showing that their new faith is showing up in love for their fellow Christians, and he's grateful to God for that. He's thanking God for that. And then that faith and that love springs forth from this hope that they've heard about, they've believed in, that's reserved in heaven for them. And so he actually goes on then with that to reflect on a little bit of this gospel that they've heard, partly because there's some troubling things also going on in the church. And so he wants to ground them in the gospel that they heard from the beginning. And so he says that this hope that's reserved in heaven for you, which you previously heard about in the word of truth. So that's the gospel which has come to you just as in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing, even as it's been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. So he's grateful that they've responded positively to the gospel. And he's grateful for that there's evidence of the work of the gospel in their life. And so as Paul kneels down or stands, or maybe even when he's laying on his bed and he thinks of the Colossian church and he thanks God for them, he's thanking God for, God, I'm so grateful for those new believers in that city of Colossae. I'm grateful for their faith. I'm grateful for the love they have. I'm grateful that they responded so positively to the gospel and that the gospel is bearing fruit in their life. Thank you, God, for what you did in Colossae and what you're doing among them and how you're teaching them to love one another and how they're living with this newfound hope. Oh, God, thank you for that. That, in essence, is how Paul is thanking God for the Colossians. Now, we continue in verse 9, and Paul shifts to how he's praying for them, how he's asking God to act on their behalf. So he has heard about what's going on from his co-worker Epaphras, who's reported to him about this church and these new believers and how it's going. Part of that also entails some needs they have. And so here's how Paul prays for them. Notice what he really cares about. He says, for this reason also, since, in other words, you responded positively to the gospel, since there's evidence of your genuine faith, for this reason also, since the day we heard about it, we have not ceased praying for you. So notice that regularly, like almost daily, maybe even throughout the day, just regularly praying for the Colossians, just when he has a thought about them, when they stop for lunch, right? Or whatever it is, when he gathers with his co-workers, let's pray for the Colossians and their new faith. So we haven't ceased praying for you. So he's praying for them frequently, routinely, regularly, since he's heard about their belief in the gospel. And he's asking, that's important too. Just that word asking reminds us that asking God to do things in prayer is not illegitimate or inappropriate. It's appropriate to ask. And Paul is asking for God to act on the Colossians' behalf. What is he asking for? Well, he's asking that you, O Colossians, may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, that's directly related to the situation, it seems, in the church. And so that's one of their needs. God, would you be with the Colossians? They're struggling to really know who you are and what you want, and this is all so new to them. So God, would you open their heart and their mind so that they would be filled with a knowledge of the things that really matter to you, the things you want, your will, oh God. And would you fill them with the knowledge of your will so that they have insight and wisdom motivated by the very Spirit of God who now dwells in them? God, would you help them to see and discern and understand what's really important to you? That's how he's praying for them. And he's praying, verse 10, so that, here's his aim, here's what he wants. He wants them to know this knowledge of God's will, not just so that they're smart and can win at Bible trivia. He says, so that you will be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So these new believers that Paul's heard about there in Colossians, he's praying for these things because what really matters to him is, God, I want them to be able to walk in a way that pleases you and honors you, that's worthy of the gospel and worthy of your grace. That's how he's praying for the Colossians, to please God, he says, in every way. I want the Colossians to be able to please God in every way. I'm asking God to work in your way so that make that a reality, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice those three things that he lists off that he wants. As he's wanting them to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, it includes pleasing him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. So as they come to know God's will and they begin to walk in his way and they begin to bear fruit according to his purposes, now they're going to grow an even deeper knowledge of God and understand more. Oh, I get it more. And so Paul is praying really for their deep spiritual growth and their deep spiritual formation, the center of which is knowing God. He also prays in verse 11 that they would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might so that they can persevere patiently in the midst of just living for Jesus in a broken, fallen world and in a pagan city like Colossae. And so as I listen to Paul pray here, as he writes down the things he's been praying, man, it's formative for me. It's instructive to me that what Paul really cares about, the most important things he prays about, should be the most important things we also pray about. Not that we can't pray for physical needs and things like that, but at the heart of our praying is this kind of stuff for spiritual growth, for spiritual formation, for growing in the knowledge of God, for having the strength to endure and to be patient. He even goes on to say, joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. So as he's praying for them, he comes back around to thanking God. God, I'm so grateful for the work you've done in the Colossians. And you've qualified them to be part of your people and to share in the inheritance that awaits us all in the world to come. And so God, would you just work in their life? And this is at the heart of Paul's praying for the Colossians. And I think it's super, super instructive to us as we reflect on Paul's prayer life. How does our prayer life compare to that? What are the things we pray about? When someone prays, you hear maybe their deepest concerns and the things that matter the most to them. And what we hear from Paul is he's really thanking God that they're part of God's people, that they're growing as God's people, and he prays that that will continue to happen. So for deep spiritual formation and spiritual growth, may we be people who listen to Paul and learn to pray like Paul does for friends, family members, church members, for maybe missionaries we support and the work they're doing, for maybe even for neighbors and coworkers, for their heart to be open to the gospel so that they too could join the family and that God could work in their life. And so let's learn from the Apostle Paul a little bit about how to pray and let his prayer life be informative and instructive and really formative, shaping for our prayer life as well. All right, thanks for tuning into this episode of the Bible and Life podcast. I pray that you walk closely with God, being transformed by His Spirit, so that we can all attain to the fullness of Christ. So God bless you and lead you this week. I look forward to talking with you again next week.